sound the trumpet in Zion. And I am Khalid Sefner, R-D-L, and you are in the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room. Now listen to it.
Callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
All right, well, we are just delighted you're in the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room. And I am Khalid Sefner, Partner L. We are broadcasting live from the Mariah Storge location here in Greenville, Mississippi. I'm just delighted tonight to have you in the room with us and also in the BBS radio audience. We have in the studio broadcasting live with us tonight a young man and his lovely queen, Ibrahim from Bangladesh in India, and his beautiful wife, Rashima. They're going to help us to host this call tonight as we discuss the Jubilee and many other pertinent things that are being talked about and discussed out there all around the world, not just in America. So we are excited tonight about it, and I see my co-host, looks like I see her there in the audience with us. Aladia, how you doing, girl? Aladia, can you hear me?
I hear you. How are you? Can you hear me?
I can barely hear you. Sounds like you're going in and out. I don't know. But anyway.
I'm in the mountains, and I'm having a problem with reception.
Oh, okay. Well, nonetheless, we are here, and we're ready to get started with discussing about the Jubilee. And, again, I have Rashima and Ibrahim from Bangladesh. And Ibrahim, how are you today?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Ready to get the show on the road?
Yes, sir, let's do.
All right. And Rashima, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
I'm doing good. You know you're broadcasting around the world tonight on BBS Radio, and also in the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer Fellowship Room. And you know Aladia, and you've met her during our event that we had here, our Heart of the Lion activation MacArthur event, and you were present. So we ready to move on and to talk about Jubilee. Now, brothers and sisters, my sister told me last week, and I'm going to take her advice because she gave me some wholesome advice. She said that this message is so important that people need to hear it, and I needed to do certain things, and so I'm going to take heed to her counsel and advice and try to make this discussion tonight something that we can all talk about. Now, I did put up some things on Facebook today. Those of you who are on Facebook, you can find me by my name, Khalid, that's C-A-L-I-T-H, Zafnat Pania, and that's a kind of difficult one, but it's ZathNathPaaneah, Paaneah, L-E-L. All right, and I put some things there. Frank today was doing some work in the vortex here, and you can see the light shooting across and following him and his macabre field connecting with the EM spectrum, as we call it. And then I got an interesting video I did not put up because it was a minor, but her mother sent it to me, and the same light was flashing across this young 11-year-old girl as she rode a horse. And if I can get permission, I will put those up on my YouTube. Of course, Frank is already up there. Frank was excited today because Frank stood in the vortex, and wow, it was a lightning show. I mean, just a lightning show. Let me see if I can find Frank here, and yeah, there he is. He's not in the room. Normally, Frank is right here in the room with us, but tonight he had to go up the road a little piece, up the highway. And but he is in the room. And, Frank, it was a lightning show that we had today as we saw the lights, the different colors of light that came forth and connected with you, and as they were actually transmitted from you and also being received by you. And we posted that up on video on YouTube. I'm sorry, excuse me, Facebook. And before we could get it up good, it had already made it to Jerusalem and into Egypt. So Frank has become an international figure all of a sudden just by the way of Facebook. But the main thing is that he's activated, his macabre is activated. Now, I also, Frank, placed one of myself up there on Facebook as I stood in the vortex with an invitation on Facebook to tell people to get to the vortex and get here as soon as you can. And we're going to discuss some of the reasons why tonight. Some of the reasons why you need to get to the vortex. If not this one, one light. Someone's putting me on hold and putting me off hold. Okay, I'm back. I don't know what had happened there. But as we were discussing earlier, you need to get to this vortex or one like this very quickly to be activated. Now, several of us had planned this macabre activation back in 2013, and we did our first event in 2014, in August of last year. Then we did another one here in April, and we just finished one here August the 10th through the 21st. And it's so important with where we are now, with the energies that are coming in to our planet, that we will try to discuss some of those tonight, if we have that. But, Frank, tell me how you're doing, man, and how did you feel today when you saw your macabre energy field activated? How did you feel?
The conference has been locked. The conference has been unlocked.
It was magnificent. I've never experienced that, but I know that it was magnificent.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Someone's playing with my board tonight. I don't know how this is happening. The board is doing some strange things here. I wasn't even touching it, and it's locking up. Maybe it's those energies, or we got to try to find out exactly who else is on this board, dealing with this board. That's not supposed to happen. All right. But nonetheless, Frank, yes, it was magnificent. And I sent out an invitation today to people to come here to make sure that they're macabre. Macabre means your vehicle. In the Bible, it's called chariot. But it means more than just a vehicle of ascension. It also means the throne of God. So the Merkaba activation is very much necessary, even for those who are embraced and conditioned by Christianity in terms of thinking of a rapture or being caught up or snatched away. That will not happen if you do not activate your Merkaba. And so that's what we mean by Merkaba. It's the chariot of ascension or vehicle of ascension that lifts you, and it is done by increasing the vibrations in your temple to the frequencies of the cosmos, to the energies and the creation, so that there is harmony and synchronization between you as a creature and the creation. Now, we are in a very, very special time. We're in the time of the 70th Jubilee. 70th. That number is so important. What does Jubilee mean? Well, I'm going to read a passage to you out of the Bible that will help you to understand what Jubilee means. Now, listen to this. It's taken from Leviticus 25, I'll begin with verse number 8. And you shall number 7 Sabbaths of years. 7 Sabbaths of years to you. 7 times 7, which is 49. And the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. And then you shall cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement, which is the Day of Judgment. The trumpet sound on the Day of Judgment. The Day of Judgment is coming up on the 23rd. This particular date that is recorded here in this Bible, in Leviticus chapter 25 and verse number 9, is the 23rd of this month, which will be next Wednesday. The trumpets will sound, the great trumpet, as they call it, the last trump sound this past Sunday, which was the 13th, and that was the last trump. And there was an interesting thing that happened on the last trump. There was a solar eclipse. So the creation itself is signaling and giving a message and telling us something. And so is the Bible telling us something. Because these feasts fell, or it fell this past Sunday, on a solar or a celestial event. Something occurred on the very holiday of the last trump, as the Bible calls it. But now we're at the great trump, which will be the 23rd, that the Bible calls the Day of Atonement, or the Day of Judgment, the Day of Judgment. And a lot of things are happening, ladies and gentlemen, in the month of September, and especially around the 23rd. Well, one of the things that's going to happen around the 23rd, of this month, not only according to this biblical clock and calendar that we've just read, but the Pope, the top religious figure in the world, will be in the White House with the top political figure, or quote-unquote, the most powerful office politically in the world, the President of the United States of America, and the top religious figure in the world, will be meeting on this very day. Now, is that all that's happening? No, something else is happening. The most powerful machine in the world, the CERN Hadron Collider Particle Accelerator in CERN, Switzerland, is going to be activated. This thing has magnets in it twice as powerful as the magnetisms of the Earth. They're going to shoot. Is that all that's happening on this day? No, that's not all that's happening on this day. Something else is happening on this day. It is the very day of the fall equinox. Now, I'm trying to take this very carefully. What does that mean? That means that the sun is passing over the equator as it precesses in its ecliptic. And as it moves, it is passing over the equator, hitting one of four cardinal points. Now, the cardinal point, the word cardinal, means an opening. It means a door. It means a gate. It means a vortex. And there are four of it. And those four signal the four seasons upon the earth based upon the precession of the sun in its ecliptic and the 23.5 degree tilt of the earth as the earth rotates on its axis. Now, that brings the four seasons. There is a cosmic celestial opening. That is what the word cardinal point means. Now, you have all of these things happening on the 23rd. You have the CERN particle collider, accelerator, hadron collider, shooting particles faster than the speed of light, which is 186,400 miles a second, into this portal or opening that we call the cardinal point or the fall equinox. And there are many speculations about what's going to happen. But I have some good news for you. The Bible says that this now is Jubilee. Now that is what I want to discuss. There are many more things that they're talking about that will happen and that are supposed to happen. Matter of fact, there you can go to YouTube and you can look at all of the things that are supposed to happen in September and October. And there are 27 to 60 things. There's a lot of things that they're talking about that are coming together all at one time. But here's what I want you to walk away from this room with tonight. And that is that this is based upon exact science. Even the Bible that I read telling you that there are to be, let me read it to you again. Now listen to this. This is based upon exact science, and I'm going to show you how. It says, and you shall number seven Sabbaths of years to you. Seven Sabbaths. Now, seven is a very powerful number, not just religiously, but scientifically, because there are 7 days in a week, and then that's the completion of that. There are seven colors or spectrums of light in sunlight. Seven is very, very important. There are seven colors in the rainbow. So this is based not only just from a religious perspective, but also, this Bible that you read about seven, these people speaking in an age thousands of years ago, looking into the future, trying to describe what they saw in the future with the terms and language that they had at that time. And so, as a result, you have what you call the Bible and some of the holy books, the Sanskrit. You have other books but tonight we're discussing the Bible and Jubilee. And I want to tell you what Jubilee means, so let me move on. Now, when this happens and you sound the trumpet, this was a religious thing that's based on science, you shall holler the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to the inhabitants thereof. Now, this is where I think we should be proclaiming liberty to everyone throughout the land because we are in the 70th Jubilee. Why is liberty important? Because we have been enslaved. We have been under the oppressive tyranny of people who have enslaved us not only psychologically and emotionally, but they have enslaved our physical labor and the very energies of our souls. And we need to stand together in this time when the cosmos, the signs that are in the celestial bodies, the precession of the equinox, the sun, the moon, the stars, are sending in energy to liberate us. we need to stand in agreement. We need to stand in agreement with the cosmos and these energies. Now, what that means, Rashima, is that all of the negative things that we're hearing, that an asteroid is supposed to hit, that wave X is going to come in and wipe us out, that there will be martial law, that there will be race riots, that there will be the Smitah, the collapse of the American economy and the global economy, and all of the negative news that we are hearing. Am I making sense? We need to stand in agreement that these energies that are coming in right now are here to liberate us. Am I making sense?
Yes, you're making a lot of sense right now.
I'm making a lot of sense.
Yeah.
How do you feel about being liberated, being free? That's what Jubilee means. And we're going to get into it in a little bit deeper, Ibrahim. But to be free, we were created to be free. We were created not to be servants, to serve the minority of a group of oligarchies, or a group of people that run the world, that steal the human capital, including the energies, our labor, our lives, our love. And at our expense, they live in luxury in this planet while the rest of us are enslaved by their system. And what I'm talking about is a proclamation. I'm talking about not a protest. Not a protest, no. Not a Occupy movement that raised picket signs to protest in front of city halls and in front of Washington, D.C. I'm not talking about a million-man march or a two-million-man march, or which is chauvinistic, by the way, because we are in feminine energies. I'm not talking about a Black Lives Matter movement. No disrespect to any of the black lives that are lost. I'm not even talking about a rise-up protest movement. No, I'm not talking about any of those kinds of movements. I'm talking about not protest, but a proclamation, a state of consciousness that you become aware that the cosmos and the energies that are coming in now to liberate you, regardless of the bad news. How do you feel about that, Ibrahim? How do you feel about it?
I feel good, what you just say, you know. It's true. You know,
the energies are coming
in. Yeah.
What do you feel about it, Rashima?
I mean, I feel like it's time. I think that we've been enslaved for too long, and it's finally time. It's finally here, and I feel like, you know, it's good to go out and try to get everybody to wake up so that we can come together in a collective consciousness and call this thing into manifestation.
Right, because consciousness is power. Now, you know, I like science, and I like facts, and I like to deal with, you know, so this number seven, the reason I pointed this number out, and seven times you have seven Sabbaths, which is 50 years, and then so we've had seven of those, which will equal something like 3,500 years. That I wanted to deal with. So we're in a 70th jubilee, which means we're at a seven, and seven is a perfect number. We see that manifested in this dimension in 3D, that seven, the law, the cosmic law. We got 7 days, okay, in a week. And then we have the seven colors in the sunlight. And I could go on and on with this number seven, but I'm fascinated by the precision of how this lines itself up with creation and with cosmic law. So the point that I'm making here is that because it is the 70th jubilee, then this is very important. That means that the energies that are coming in now are very powerful to work in our behalf, and you have facts to and science, not just faith, but facts to base this upon. Now, let me continue to read. So that's Jubilee, to be set free. Now, what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, if we keep reading, it says, and you shall hallow or make it sanctified the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all the inhabitants thereof, and it shall be a jubilee to you, and you shall return every man to his possession. Now, I have no idea what the Pope is getting ready to discuss with the president. There's been a lot of speculations about what they're going to talk about, what's going to happen, what will it be the outcome. And I've heard different discussions about what will transpire when the Pope, this Pope, will be the very first Pope in the history of all popes to ever address U.S. Congress. There's some major stuff going on here, people. There is some major things going on here. I mean, there are too many things for you to sweep it away and call it coincidence. Then this Pope will leave with an announcement to go on the 25th, after the Day of Judgment, after he's met with Congress. The Day of Judgment is the 23rd, falls on the fall equinox, and they turn on the CERN Hadron Collider, particle accelerator. And then he goes to talk to Congress. And then from Congress, he goes to address the UN. And it's the 70th session of the UN. So you've got a 70th jubilee and a 70th session of the UN, United Nations. And you've got the 266th Pope coming on the 266th day, meeting with the President of the United States. Too many coincidences, people. I don't know what it means. I don't know if it's a false flag, but the world is in anticipation of Jubilee. Now, whatever they discuss, listen, this should be the agenda. This should be the agenda right here. And I'll read it one more time. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be, my eyes are running the words together, I'm getting old. It shall be a jubilee to you, and you shall return every man to his possession, and you shall return every man to his family. In other words, no more slavery. And lands that have been taken by people who invaded other people's lands and conquered those people and wiped those people's resources out, enslaved those people. It is a time now when these forces need to be challenged by cosmic law. I'm reading to you from the Bible. But not just a Bible. The people who wrote this Bible, as I pointed out to you, are dealing with cosmic law. They're dealing with science, people. So based upon the science of this, the 70th session, what is the Pope going to say? He's going to call for global, the return of all lands to people that people have come in and have conquered. Now, I'm almost there. Is there anything you'd like to say? Am I triggering anything in your mind as I talk to my my guest here tonight? Or is there anything in your mind that comes to your mind as we're talking here tonight?
That makes sense.
It's resonating.
Yeah. You're talking about a book.
Yeah, and it's very significant to this time. Like I said, it's been a long time, and we've been oppressed for ages. And it's time to usher in a new age.
And it's a good thing that you said that, new age, because people are afraid of that word. But actually, the word world in the New Testament is Ion or aeon, and it means a specific age. Now, and that takes me to the next portion of what I wanted to discuss tonight as I look at the time, because I've been here about 30 minutes. And that is Romans chapter 11. And I want to read to you verse 25. And I want you to understand something that I said last week. And my sister reprimanded me. She told me to soften my tone and don't be so radical. So I'm not going to be radical. I'm trying to keep it clean so that everyone can listen and get this. But I got a lot of passion about this because I really believe this. So I'm going to read to you from Romans chapter 11 and verse number 25. It says, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit. Don't become arrogant and guilty of anthropomorphic arrogancy. In other words, get the big head. Get on your high horse. Don't think, listen, don't become arrogant. I don't want you to become conceited. Don't become conceited, lest you be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, that's very important because she just mentioned an age. The times of the Gentiles has been significantly an age that has come to an end. December the 21st, 2012, at 11:11 a.m., the sun moved out of what? Here again is this law. The sun moved out of the age of Pisces, the two fish. Sound familiar? Jesus and the disciples were fishermen. Well, Jesus was a carpenter, but he called fishermen. And the symbol of Jesus, if you look on the back of bumper stickers and bookstores, are fish. Well, this is tied to cosmology. It was the age of Pisces, period. But now, something happened in the celestial movement that the sun moved out of Pisces into Aquarius. December the 21st, 2012, at 11:11 a.m. So we are no longer in the age of Pisces, and the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. It's over. They can try to create war. They're not going out peaceably. They must surrender this planet. Boy, that's radical. That's a challenge. That I know my sister told me not to be radical. I need to take her off mute to make sure I'm not being too radical, but I'm just preaching this Bible. I'm just talking about this book, and I'm pointing out this science, and I'm showing you how accurate it is, that it's not based upon guesswork, that it is based upon precision. And the people that wrote this book understood the clock and the calendar, not the one you wear on your arm or the one you hang on your wall, but the clock and the calendar that's in the sky. And somehow or another, they had the supreme wisdom to interpret these clocks and calendars and wrote it down in scrolls that became scripture that was handed down to us as a Bible. And I'm reading to you part of this scroll right now that says, I don't want you Gentiles, you people that are in control, that have been grafted in, to think that you are going to stay in power forever. Now, why am I harboring on that word Gentile? Not necessarily a bad thing, because according to this passage, they have been grafted into the commonwealth of the program of the Most High. But they are not to become arrogant to think, according to this chapter, that they are the root. They are not the root. They are the wild olive branch that was grafted in, and the natural branch was cut off and placed in a coma. They were placed asleep. They lost their identity. They don't know who they are. They've forgotten their history. Their legacy, their heritage has been wiped out and replaced, revived. But then this word says that I do not want you to think that this is a permanent condition. It's not. These people whom you have erased their history, whom you've stolen their identity, whom you've revised their heritage. You've taken their place. Don't think that they're going to remain asleep forever. You have an age, or 2,000, let's deal with precise numbers here, because the sun stays in one constellation for 2,160 years, and I could work that number until you just kind of got a, you got dizzy if I really wanted to. That number, 216, is a very powerful number in math, and it's prevalent, it's sacred, meaning it's everywhere. It's part of a sacred number, and you can see it repeat itself over and over and over and over and over again. But they're 2,160 miles wide is the width of the moon, and I could work that number all the way, you know, to the sun. But nonetheless, that number, the sun stays in one constellation, 2,160 years, and we moved out of Pisces into Aquarius. Now, those people that wrote about the age of Aquarius pictured this and gave us a picture of a man holding an urn or a water pitcher, pouring an incessant stream of water, which means that that's going to be a pouring out of something. That's going to be a releasing of something. So in this age, there is a pouring out of information, a pouring out of energies, a pouring out of powers. So that is where we are now. There is nothing that the old system can do to hold us hostage. They must proclaim Jubilee, because you cannot hold us in the last age, as some are trying to do. Hold us in the past and hold us in the previous age, because they don't want to surrender their power and control and move into an era of love, of truth, of justice, of freedom, and of peace. They want to hold the world in slavery, in deception, in hate. This is why I'm saying, do not practice hate and protest. This is a time of release. Their time is over, says this book, which was based on this system above our heads, which is based on those energies. Those people that wrote this book wrote it in code. I have just broken the code for you, so there's no need for you to protest. All you need to do is make a proclamation of Jubilee in your consciousness, acknowledge it, become aware that the cosmos is sending in energies and the powers to set you free. I feel like shouting hallelujah. I feel like I'm in church, although I'm just sitting in the studio with these two guests of mine. Am I preaching all right?
I'm preaching okay. Hallelujah.
Now, that's a church girl there. Her father is an apostle. All right. Now, let's see where we are. All right. I'm at 5, 7:39. I got a little ways to go. And let me just kind of rub this point just a little bit more about the Gentiles, because I really want you to understand that last week I spoke concerning the Gentiles out of Luke chapter 21 and verse number 24. And that says that you will be carried away captive into all nations, and you will fall by the edge of the sword, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, Jerusalem is still under Gentile control, and but their time is up. Okay. Now, but I'm going to go here now, and I'm going to read to you something that Jesus said. I'm going to read to you something that Jesus said about the Gentiles. Now, Jesus said also what I just quoted a moment ago out of Luke. But now I'm going to tell you some characteristics of the age of the Gentile. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, in the Bible, in the New Testament, Jesus said that we are to practice the single eye, which is pineal gland activation. He says, the light of the body is the eye, and the eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. But if the eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness, and therefore the light that is in you be darkness. How great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, And then he begins to say some very interesting things here. So he goes on to say, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. He said, don't take any thought about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on, what you're going to wear. He said, because, you know, nature will take care of you, basically, is what he said. He said, because the birds of the air, they don't reap, they don't sow, but they are fed, they are taken care of. Then he says again, don't take any thought. And then he says it again, why are you taking thought? And then he says, you know, God clothes the flowers that are in the fields. And if he does that, he's going to clothe you. And then he says something in verse 32 that I want to get to. And this is the point I want to make. He said, for after all of these things do the Gentiles seek. Now, if you are overly consumed about the cares of this world, finances, what monies are going to do, economics, and the world and the system of the Gentile is trying to put pressure on you so that you feel the crunch, the economic crunch, that you feel the not only economic crunch, but you feel also the social crunches. We got some things that are going on sociologically within the mores and morals of our structure, even in our legislation politically, with a bill that was just passed that the registrar over in Kentucky, she went to jail because she refused, as the only registrar in that county certified to sign marriage license, she refused to sign marriage license. And so during the Labor Day weekend, she was placed in jail because she was told if she didn't do something that she felt violated cosmic law, which was same-sex marriage, that she would go to jail. She chose jail. That's pressure. The system is placing pressure on institutions that have stood since time immemorial. So it's not just economic stress. There are social stresses. There are political stresses. Then there are cultural stresses. There are religious stresses. The religious systems are under stress and duress. Islam, ISIS, the crisis with ISIS in the world, the fight between ISIS and Mossad, the Israeli Secret Service, the fight between Christianity and Islam. I see it all the time. We see the differences in between Fox News and CNN. So those are stresses. You have two ends of the same stick putting pressure on you. It's called both ends against the middle. And so you're being pressured from both ends. So there's religious pressure. There's social pressure. There's economic pressure. And this is what Jesus calls in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32, for all of these things the Gentiles seek after. And this book, based upon the signs, says that the times of the Gentiles are over, the time of competition, the time of capitalism, the time of hate, the time of divisiveness, the time of racial tensions, the time of animosities, the time of few. See, those that are going to get caught in that are going to be caught in the lower vibrations, which are dictated by your levels of consciousness. And the rest of us are going to move into an era in the Aquarian age of love, of truth, of peace, of freedom, and justice. I hope I'm making sense to you tonight. Telling you that the time of the Gentile, that age of division, those walls, those barriers, those pressures, those stresses, keeping up with the Joneses, trying to compete, who has the biggest car, who has the biggest house, who has the finest clothes, who has the most fame, who is the most popular, who's the most... No, we're moving into an age where everybody is coming. No one is left out. We're moving into an age of sovereignty. That time of divisiveness, the times of the Gentiles. The cosmos, cosmic law, is saying to you and to me, and you need to have your conscience infused with a proclamation of jubilee, not based and predicated upon money or social standing or social status. And if you can, get here to this Greenville location to get in this vortex, to get activated, to get your macabre activated. We're going to do some more work with that. Now I'm going to close right here right now, and I'm going to open up the Q&A right here.
Q&A session started.
And you can come in and join this discussion right now by pressing *6. And I'm not going to be here long tonight, but we have about 15 more minutes or so, maybe 10 minutes. So I'm going to stop right there, take a break, take a pause, and let you think about how to get into this discussion. Maybe perhaps you have some questions that you would like to raise. Those of you who are in the BBS radio audience, you can call 712-775-7085. Again, that's 712-775-7085. And then the access code is 568-788-POUND. You can get in this discussion if you would like to weigh in on tonight about Jubilee and having a consciousness of freedom, a proclamation of liberty. Let that be your proclamation, not a protest. The people that are doing the heinous and despicable deeds, the police that are killing and shooting down innocent citizens, unarmed, powerless people, are trying to use provocations to provoke us into the lower energies for a particular reason. Those that are flooding the internet with bad news. Let me just say that we can draw an asteroid in if we have the wrong consciousness. But if we have the right consciousness of love, that energy, we are so connected to this universe in ways I can't explain, but I just don't have time. I can explain how you are connected to the quantum field and the energies that are coming in from the seventh angel, Eta Carina. That was an explosion called Eta Carina. And Eta is the seventh letter in the Greek alphabet. And Eta Carina is sending DNA particles right now as we speak, to change you, to upgrade your DNA. Particles are coming in from Eta Carina. Look it up. These light photon particles, these particles are coming into our planet, coming across the quantum field, coming across the filaments that connect, and you are connected to these things intimately and integrally. You will get a DNA upgrade. That is that seven again. Eta Carina, the seventh angel that the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation. So many prophets or preachers are predicting doom and gloom with the seventh angel sounding. No, the seventh angel, Eta Carina, and I can prove it, is sending out good stuff for you if you're ready to receive it. So, now, I see 317. That looks like my friend. That looks like one of the queens. God bless you. Candace, I hope that's you.
Yes, good evening. How are you doing this evening? You are just on fire, as usual.
You think so?
Absolutely. And, you know, when I tune in, hear you talk when you're live, because a lot of times I call back in and listen at my leisure and my pleasure, and it's truly a pleasure. Just I can push pause and salah and, you know, take some of that information in.
Candace, before you start, and I want you to continue, thank you for giving me a break. I needed a break to breathe here. Come on.
Well, you are welcome. As you speak, like I was saying, I hear the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, quickening in my spirit different scriptures. And one was heaven suffers violence, and the violence taken by force. And I've been knowing that scripture and quoting it for a long time, but I never really fully understood what it fully really meant. But as you were saying about your radicalism. You know, a lot of times it takes that because everyone gets to there enough, and the power of the Holy Spirit put that radicalization inside of you at such a time as this to get your point across so that we can understand. And another thing that I was hearing, that Babylon has fallen at such a time as this, and this is it. And the Creator did not give us a spirit of fear, but of faith, courage, and a sound mind, and that we should be not eating for the religious or whatever, however you want to call it, the studied or whatever you want to put in it. This is not the season of baby milk. This is not the season of baby food. This is the season of steak and eating. And then when you were talking about the fish coming out of Pisces, and we're now in Aquarius, that still coincides with water. Fish has to have water, and water seeks its own level, so it's just still the same. Fish, water, water, fish. And then, you know, deep calls unto deep. And then he said something, cast your net on, you know, into the deep. No, we can no longer just go to the beach and put our toe in the water. We have to go all the way in because this is it. And we have
to there's a passage also in Psalms, if I may interrupt you. I just have to say this.
Mm-hmm.
It says that those that go down to the sea to do business in great waters, these see the wonders of the Lord in the deep. So it's no time if you want a great blessing. Now listen to that again. Those that do business, that go down to do business in ships and do business in the deep, these see the wonders of the Lord in the deep, in great waters, not shallow waters, but in great waters, okay? And also, since we're dealing with, as you were talking, Candace, it may remember just how plain and how clear, and tell me if this makes sense to you. And speaking of the age of Pisces and the age of Aquarius, now in Luke 22 and 10, it says, Jesus is talking, he says, when you are entered into a city, there shall meet you bearing a pitcher of water. He said unto them, behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he enters, and you shall say to the good man, the master says to you, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover? Now, Passover, this is so beautiful the way the people in that day wrote this. When the sun, 2012, December the 21st, passed over the galactic equator, we entered into the large upper room, into the age of Aquarius, and the sign of Aquarius is a man carrying a pitcher of water. Now, who are these two fellows that are meeting this man carrying a pitcher of water? It's John and Peter. And who are John and Peter? They are fishermen. So these two fish are men, which is a symbol of Pisces, meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. And the people that wrote this Bible is telling us that after the age of Pisces gives away to the age of Aquarius, when the sun moves across the galactic equator, not the equator in the earth, man, it moves into the galactic equator, crosses over, there will be a large upper room that we call the kingdom of heaven. Some people call it the golden age. We're in that space and that time now where the sun has pulled our solar system across the galactic equator in the Milky Way galaxy. And last week, we were pulled into the center of the galaxy, of our Milky Way galaxy. And three suns are aligning. Sirius, Halcyon, and our sun align. So we're in that large upper room. And what's getting ready to happen now is that the times of the Gentiles have ended. The energies in the universe and the galaxy will not permit us to sustain attitudes and consciousness of competition, division, and hate, and injustice. it will, the energies will not tolerate those kinds of behaviors that Jesus calls the, these things the Gentiles seek after. That time is over. I'm passionate.
Wow.
I didn't mean to cut you off. But Luke
22
and 10.
No, you didn't. That's awesome.
Luke 22 and 10 tells you in this beautiful allegorical story of two fishermen, Pisces, meeting Aquarius, the man carrying a pitcher of water, entering into the large upper room where there's love, truth, justice, freedom, and peace. You don't need to bring anything. Don't bring your purse. You don't need to pay an offering. Don't bring your attitude, your ego. Don't bring your degree. Don't bring your accolades and your encomiums. Don't bring all of that. That's not important here in this large upper room. Everything is already furnished. You don't need to bring your knowledge, your Bible. This is called the golden age. This is called what the Bible calls the kingdom of heaven. We've entered into it. And you know what? People don't even know it. They don't even see it.
And constantly praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
And is it? And it has come.
This is. You're just so powerfully awe-inspiring. As you were talking, I was reminded of, you know, the water and the fish and the symbolism of it and the numbers. You said something earlier about, what was it, number 1, 2, and 6, that becomes 9, and it takes 9 months to birth something.
Oh, 2, 1, 6 becomes 9. Yes.
So that's always, for me, and universally, is birthing. It takes 3 seasons, and this is the time of great travail that we're pushing forth, and a baby is surrounded by water from the darkness of the mother's womb and coming out to the light of the man, manifestation of all that is.
Let me cut you off. We got about 2 minutes. Let me hold on 1 second. I'm going to put this on. Let me hit 2, 2, 5, 6. Hold on 1 second. We're going to come back to that point. 2, 5, 6. 2, 5, 6. Area code. I'm trying to take you off mute. I wanted to get you. Oh, there you are. You're on live. Your mic is open. 2, 5, 6. 2, 5, 6. Your mic is open. Can you hear me? Am I doing something wrong? Let's see. 2, 5, 6. Can you hear me? 2, 5, 6.
Hi.
Hey, got you. Hello.
Thank you. I have how many seconds?
You got about 30 seconds. It's 7:59, and I need to play this music to go off the air. But if you hold on, I'll come right back, okay?
Thank you.
Hey, Candace, hold on. Don't go anywhere. Georgia, don't you go anywhere, girl. Don't you touch that dial. Stay with me. I got to play this music. Hey, BBS radio audience, I love you with an everlasting love. This is Khalid Zafnat Pioneer. You've been in the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room.
Good night, Khalid.